All right, everybody, welcome back. Another episode, another Friday.
Another one
of Buddy's Podcast.
Hey.
Let's just jump into it. Here we go.
Okay. For fear, listen, even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would have been on Dreamville. Talk to her, nigga. One time for my LA sisters. One time for my LA hoes.
Did you see the hilarity of the Cardinals? I think it was like their AA affiliate tweeting last night.
No, I didn't see it.
So Jacob DeGrom had his first, you know, like, game back as far as, you know, like rehab and stuff.
Since okay.
He's been on the injured list. Dude, it was against the Cardinals, like minor league squad, like the one that's literally right above rookie ball.
Okay.
And they're flipping out. They're like, oh my God, Jacob DeGrom is pitching in the minors.
What?
And he's throwing 102. Someone send help.
I think I did get an update or something about
dude,
that.
Dude, like, Their social media was like as good as the Tiger social media has been to me last night.
Really?
Like, they were sitting there like, oh yeah, you know, well, why don't they just get better? I don't know, because we're right above freaking rookie ball, guys. And he's throwing 102 miles per hour. What part don't you get?
Right.
Like, he finishes like 3 innings, 8 strikeouts. And then they were like, they get to the end of the game, like, okay, he's out. This is over. And they're like, well, now the Mets decide to give him run support. Like, ouch, that has to hurt.
Right.
Man, but the ground's so filthy, man.
I know, his shit's
insane. Ridiculous, dude. Yep. Like, God.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to the show. We've got a lot. Not a huge UFC card tomorrow, but pretty big one.
Pretty good.
I guess there's like a couple of fights I'm really interested in watching, but yeah. Main event should be nice. Chris actually just showed me the Braves walk off on the Mets, and holy smokes, that Acuna shot was nuts.
It was a moonshot, man. Like,
I just love how hype he got afterwards.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, like he instantly looked over to the dugout and was like, hey.
Well, he did that earlier in the year too.
Yeah.
Like, he hit, I don't even know if it was a walk off, but he hit a shot. Man, that's such a
bomb.
It
was such a clean bomb.
Right?
Like, you knew it was gone.
Look. And then looks at his bench and just fires everybody up, dude.
Right.
They're so hyped.
Atlanta's, I kind of want to go to a Braves game at this point.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Because this season looks so fun, the Braves games that I've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the crowd's always hyping everything.
Yeah, look, they got fireworks going. The lights are freaking flashing on every.
Day.
I know, right? Yeah, dude, that's so hype.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I like going to other ballparks.
Yeah.
Like, I went to the White Sox, that one was awful.
Yeah,
but it was cool.
Because I know, because you were, I know you said, because I was telling Kyle, because you know Kyle was in Denver, and he went to you know,
Mile High. Well, yeah. Not Mile High. What's it?
I think it's Coors Field.
Coors Field. Yeah.
So he was like, it was pretty nice and all that, and he was saying he met a guy that was from Cincy when he was there.
Really?
Because they were sitting like near each other, so they were like kind of going back and forth. He was like, if you're ever in Ohio for a game, he's like, oh, the fuck would I go to Ohio to watch a game? I was like, okay, Miles has told me that Cincy has a good ballpark though.
Yeah, so, Cincy's is sweet. Yeah, Cincy's is real sweet. Great American ballpark.
Like, so, hey, maybe this could become like a summer trip or some shit. We all just go down there.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing about Cincy's ballpark is, like, for one, I mean, the Reds are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're actually entertaining to
right.
watch. So it's not like they're a trash team anymore.
Yeah, it's just they play a lot of NL teams, and
yeah.
it's, like, not a lot of teams that we're really exposed to. I don't know. I guess you and I are
like,
different because we watch a lot of games.
We do, yeah. We watch way more.
Because of, you know, the sports betting and everything.
Right. And then also, I'm just addicted to baseball out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I haven't even betting on baseball, like, short of, like, today, really.
Yeah.
I haven't really bet on baseball in like almost a month, it seems.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I was just like, I wasn't doing well at it, so fuck it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I keep doing these 5-leg parlays, and man,
they come so close.
I get parlay insurance back almost every time though.
Yep. Yeah, because it's like it gets so close.
I hit 4 out of 5 like almost every night.
Speaking of getting close, man, that bet that I had for with the dollar from Larry last weekend.
Oh yeah, I remember you told
it
me
almost
about
hit.
It. Yeah.
Like, dude, really? We're sitting here like throughout the day. He's like, it looks like it might hit, and it just kept checking off and checking off and checking off and checking off.
Yeah.
And then you get towards the end of the night, and it was like, this is where the hurt begins. Like, dude, I had I don't think I've ever had a parlay where I look up and it was like, you know, several legs on it. Cause I think it was like a 14 or 15 leg parlay. It was
so a typical Chris bet.
Yeah. A typical, you know, dollar into infinity type of bet. Yeah. And it was like, so I had RJ 15 and the Knicks to win, World Zero for 20, Stanley Johnson 15. Larry was like, he didn't trust that Stanley Johnson. I'm like, he had been picking up his score in the last few games. That 15 is generous. I think he had about 20.
Mm.
Phoenix on the money line. Valanciunas over 15 and a half points. Brooklyn money line. I had Capella with a double-double in Atlanta to win, but Capella didn't play, so it got voided. Philly to win. Diallo 15 plus.
My God, you need so much to happen in that bet. What
is- all of these happen, and this is where it messed up. I needed Hardaway Jr. 20 and Dallas to win. Dallas didn't win. I needed Dame.
Did Hardaway hit the 20, though?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
I needed Dame to get over 29 and a half. I think he had maybe 24. And then I also had the Lakers to win and the Jazz to win. Those two legs missed.
Wait, which ones? Oh, just the...
The Hardaway and the Lillard. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you tied in... You had a bunch of those, like, double ones.
Yeah,
so that was...
but that's how you got a higher payout for it.
Yeah,
well, that was,
yeah, no shit. What was the payout on that? What were the odds?
It would have. It was a dollar would have actually got me like just over $450 off of that.
So the odds were plus 45,000.
Yep. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Like, dude, it's like, wow. And for it to be that close, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like, now let's rewind. What was the gentleman's bet again?
The gentleman's bet was how many primetime games would the Lions have? I said none. He said they'll have at least one. And so, you know, they got the one against Green Bay. So, you know, he was like, you know, just take that buck and just throw it on one of the crazy parlays real quick. I was like, all right, you want me to? I got it then.
Yeah.
And it was actually a solid parlay, though. Like, all of those were very doable. It's just I haven't learned my lesson of betting on Damian Lillard to score points because every time I do it. And you know what really, I think, screwed me out of it, though?
What?
The fact that Denver took a dive in that game.
Oh, they, yeah, for sure. Because yeah. then he takes his foot off the gas.
Yeah, he was like, I don't have to go off. Cause
right.
Remember the bet that the guy had where he was like, damn, I'm going to lose my house, man, if you don't, you know, if you guys don't win like a certain amount of games. He was like, I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually covered. That. The game against Denver was the one that put him over. So
really?
He covered for that guy.
Wow.
The guy admitted, like, I didn't really gamble my house. It was like 500 that I gambled, but I did get a sizable
win. He knew what he meant.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Like if you gamble your house, like you need to go to rehab for sports betting. But yeah, man, a lot of stuff has happened in basketball the past couple of days. That was a great game, the Lakers Warriors.
God, it's been some, dude. Like that game was so good. I did not expect it to be that damn good at all.
Right.
And even the Boston and Washington game was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah, true. I mean, there was a lot of points scored.
The only
game.
Bad game was really the Hornets and Pacers. That was only the really bad one, I could say. Because even that Spurs and Grizzlies game, it started off horrible.
It started off real bad for the Spurs.
But then they picked it up and it actually got tight. So it wound up being an entertaining game. But that, man, like, the Pacers got dog walked last night, but it was at least entertaining the way that Russ and them were playing.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it refreshing to watch.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like Golden State,
if Klay Thompson was playing in that game,
Golden State would have fucking rocked the Lakers that game.
Yeah.
Like LA did not, they didn't match like the same.
They started
tenacity.
So slow.
Yeah, they did not have it. Like, and with Klay, they would have ran that score up.
Yeah.
Steph Curry's just out of his level. Like, realistically, looking at what Jokic has been able to do, so many people shit on that guy, and I feel like it's just people who don't watch Denver games.
That's really it. And you know, because the Nuggets don't really, I feel, get that much attention. Like they'll have some games in prime time, but it's still not getting the attention that like a Lakers game or a Blazers game or even a Utah game is gonna get.
Phoenix,
like, you know,
Philly,
like all of those
Milwaukee.
Teams are getting more New Orleans, who isn't even a playoff team.
Right.
And it's like, Jokic,
yeah, they got a guy signed Jordan.
Good.
Right.
He's like, Jokic is literally the best big man in the league, if you ask me.
No doubt.
No question. Like, Embiid's pretty good.
You could say Embiid
is
up
just
there.
All like, Jokic can hit you in so many ways. It's crazy.
He's the most versatile for sure.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, just as far as leading a team, I mean, especially even since Jamal Murray's gone down.
Yeah.
Like, even Jamal, when Jamal Murray was there, he wasn't even second fiddle. It was like, Jokic is here, yeah, you know, and then, you know, Murray's just days behind him.
Right. Know? Like, Jokic is just, he's playing on such a different level as a big man. It's crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, given looking at everything, like, holistically, would you say Jokic or Curry for MVP? Think about what Curry's done in the last month.
I mean, in all honesty, I'm leaning to Curry because when I say MVP, I always put an emphasis on most valuable player. And you saw straight up within the last 12 months.
Hang on, dude. Hang on one sec. I don't know what the hell's going on. All right. Sorry about that, everybody.
We back.
Had some difficulties with a couple of goddamn animals.
Right. Our mascots. Right. They're multiplying and just, you know, losing their minds.
Right. So you were saying about Jokic. Or yeah, no, like, Curry, well, whoever it was.
You know, MVP, like, I put an emphasis on the word valuable. And in the last, you know, essentially 12 months, you've seen how valuable Steph Curry is to the Warriors. They're a completely different team without him. They're a lottery team without him. And here they are, even without their second best player, and he's willed them to an AFC, basically. Like, come on now.
I mean, let's be fair. If Jokic goes down, Denver is a lottery team.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, you've seen that.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't, like, knock Jokic for not missing
you
time.
You can't, but it's a situation of what if compared to what you've seen. There's a chance that Denver could possibly not be a lottery team and just be down to, you know, an AFC or a play-in team without Jokic. That's a possibility. We don't really know because we haven't seen it.
I mean, the Warriors are technically only a play-in team.
No, well, they were an actual AFC. They were eight. Yeah, they were eight.
Okay.
Yeah, because, or were they seven? I think they might have been seven, actually.
No, the Lakers were.
No, wait.
Yeah, the Lakers were seven.
Yeah, because they were the home team. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they were the actual AFC. Low-key, the Western Conference play-in game was not needed.
Yeah, no shit.
Technically, the East wasn't either, but, you know, it is. Well, no, the East was needed because Boston needed to get bounced the way they did. That was just embarrassing, man.
But, I mean, if you look at it, like, you can't knock the guy for showing up every day and playing.
Yeah.
And he's, from the last time that I've seen, and this was actually a while back, we were talking about it on the
Boston
podcast.
Boston was actually the one that made it. I was thinking Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte got popped.
Charlotte deserved to get popped the way he got popped.
Yeah. excuse me. Yeah, you can't knock the guy for not missing time and showing up. And, I mean, Denver's, what, number three in the West?
You can't. Yeah, you can't really knock it. But it's like, dude, like, Curry's been, like, the way Curry's played this year, the numbers add up to his unanimous MVP season.
That's true. And so, I can agree with you in that sense. I think Curry, especially just from what he did in the last month, is deserving of an MVP title.
And I mean, it's not even just that, but look at it this way. When you talk about Jokic's season, you're talking, you know, MVP caliber season at best. With Curry, you've got people now stating Steph Curry is definitely one of the greatest point guards to play the game, no question, because of the tear that he's been on this season.
I think even prior to the season, you could say that. But, I mean, even now.
It was a little caveat because of the fact of KD going there.
But he won a title before KD.
He did win one before KD. But, you know, basketball fans are fickle. And they if you have, like, any level of assistance, especially in the case of getting the best player in the league on your team, essentially, in KD.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to be looked at
That's like knocking the Bulls GM for going out and getting Rodman for, you know, when he did. You know, so you got the best rebounder in basketball.
I would say it would have been like if they would have brought in Shaq to the Bulls at that time.
But
that's really what KD going to, you know.
But Dennis Rodman did win a title on a team he was a focal point, not in the offense or anything, but he was a rebounding machine. He's a defensive player of the year, I believe. Yep. Prior to going to Chicago, you know, it's like you just got to bring in teams. You can't knock a GM for making a good move.
Yeah, you can't. You can't at all. Like, I don't personally really hold it against them, but, you know, that's just how basketball fans are. Like, that's something that they're going to hold against them. And now their tone is changing to, we can't question how great Curry is. Like, you just can't question it anymore. Like, he's possibly a top five point guard easily at this point.
Honestly, I think you can put Russell Westbrook in that conversation. He hasn't even done anything in terms of accolades.
Yeah.
Just out of pure raw performance. Like, he's not even
a
shooter.
MVP award, but, like, dude, the numbers that he puts
up. Oh, he does have an MVP, doesn't he?
Was it two?
No, he doesn't have two.
Back to back? No, he won the one with the first triple-double. He didn't win the second triple-double year.
Yeah.
But he's averaged triple-double 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, even Oscar Robertson playing against 5'5" white guys
couldn't do it and average it that many times. He did it once, I think.
Yeah,
right?
He averaged a triple double in a season.
Yeah,
or almost did. I think he might have actually did.
Yeah, he did actually. He was the only person that had done it until Russ did it. I still wish LeBron could have done it. LeBron could have easily done it. I feel like if his teammates were just a little more competent.
I don't know. That's not easy to do.
It's not. And they even asked him last night. They asked Russ like, "What's the hardest part?" He was like, "Assist." Because I can set you up with the perfect shot, but it's not a guarantee you're going to make it.
You got to knock it down.
I can accommodate for me missing a shot because, you know, that's on me. I know I messed that up.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond that, yeah, like a rebound is easier to get.
Mm-hmm. So Memphis and Golden State tonight actually should be a pretty interesting game.
Oh,
I mean, think about how good Memphis played.
And Ja didn't even play that well against the Warriors on Sunday. He played a little crappy, and he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he went into the game the other night, like, he...
Wait, you're talking about last Sunday, right?
Yeah, last Sunday.
Okay, I'm thinking more of, like, the Spurs game.
Yeah. Oh, Ja was locked in for that game.
Right,
but, like, they played the Warriors Sunday, and that's fresh in his mind because he's like, I play it like shit. I can't do this again, or else we are done. And it's true. They do it again, they're fucked.
Yeah. I do want to... One last thing about the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. Does Jokic still lead essentially every category on his team?
Oh, probably so, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's something you can't necessarily say for Curry, even though he is a point guard. But Jokic is a center,
leading
in assists, three-point percentage, three-pointers made, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, you can't argue with the versatility, and you can't argue with a guy who shows up every single day and puts his team number three in the West.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
I mean, I don't know. I would love to see Curry get it just because I'm such a fan of the player, man. Like, he's revolutionized the game
this year. Like, the level he's played is like, dude, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
How?
Right. I mean, coming in, scoring damn near 40 a night in the last, like, month, you know? Like, it's insane.
Sheesh. More playoff talk. Fun fact, apparently Tom Thibodeau is thinking of using Frank Ntilikina a little bit more just to shut down good old Trae Young in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. He's really thinking of tinkering with it. Like, look, there's something I got to do, so... Let's make this happen. Like, Thibs is really game planning to win this. I don't give Atlanta a chance in that series. I don't.
No?
Nah. New York's going to grind the shit out of that offense.
Yeah.
To where they can't
get
anything going.
Right. New York might go for the sweep.
I was thinking that they could, honestly. Like, it's...
New York's a good team this year, man.
Yeah.
Like, and they've got Randall playing at just a different level.
A level that's so ridiculous, man. I'm like, jeez.
I mean, if you look across the board, think about how bad how sweet that Lakers team would be right now.
True.
Because, I mean, they couldn't put it together, but they were all really young, you know?
Yep, because D'Angelo Russell was playing great as a sixth man in,
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yep.
Julius is a most improved player of the year waiting to happen.
Yep.
Brandon Ingram had a hell of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo Ball definitely had a great year compared to what he usually does.
Right. I mean, granted, they turned it into LeBron and AD and all this other stuff, but I mean,
still,
that's what you get. I mean, it's either one or the other.
The weakest link is the one link that they kept, Kuzma.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the one weak link in that whole situation.
And Kuzma's had his strides throughout his career to where it's like
he's had
oh,
games
dude.
Where it's like, oh, this guy is legit.
Yeah, like he could be a superstar.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't believe, like, they didn't keep, like, at least Ingram with LeBron or something,
Ingram
you know?
Was supposed to have been the untouchable one, and then they just caved in. It was like, Anthony Davis.
Well, they had to pull the trigger on Davis,
like you had to, yeah.
You, like, Anthony Davis,
because guys were trying to get that pick from them, like in other packages, but they were saying, nope, we don't want to move Ingram. We'll move Kuz, but we won't move Ingram.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw why in Ingram, though. It's like, once he got it together, he was going to be lethal.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, he won't be the biggest star on his team because Zion's there, but, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, in a couple, give it a couple of years, that'll be a dangerous team to mess with.
Combination, yep. Yeah.
So looking ahead, let's just stay on basketball. We got the Heat and Bucks tomorrow.
Yep.
What are you anticipating for this series? Because we had a pretty interesting conversation prior to the pod.
Honestly, you know, I don't think Milwaukee's gonna take this series, man. I don't.
Why?
I think Miami's taking it. Miami had their number last year, and they had it bad. Like, granted, Milwaukee did kind of switch around pieces, but Miami's defense is like the Knicks' defense. It's two of the better defenses in the league. They're not the top defense. The Lakers have the top defense.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, they will smother you, and you know, if you got to force Middleton to beat you, I don't think Middleton's going to beat Miami on his own. They try to force him into it.
No, I mean, Middleton's a hell of a player, a scorer.
But they're probably going to try to force him into being the guy that beats them. I can see that happening.
I mean, Giannis is definitely a guy who can take over a game, especially with, I mean, granted, Miami's good. It's just, it's hard to stop Giannis.
It is. It's very hard. Now, I will say, I did feel Miami definitely had a huge shot at beating Brooklyn when they did the Oladipo trade.
Mm-hmm.
But with him being gone, yeah, I don't think they really going to give Brooklyn too much of a problem. Like, Oladipo was really that X factor for them to me, because not only is he a great defender, but he gives you 20 extra points a night, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, and that's something that you definitely need, because, I mean, Tyler Herro's finally clicking again, but...
Is he finally getting it back together?
Yeah, he was getting it back together.
Yeah, he was rough early. Like, but, real rough.
Like, he had a nice little string of double-digit games a quick second, but...
Yeah. Adebayo, is he still playing at a high level? I haven't really watched much Miami in the last probably month or so.
Bam has been so iffy.
Really?
To me, like, it's been instances where I've placed bets on Bam, and I'm like, okay, you could easily get these points.
Yeah.
I had him for, I think, 15 last week in one game. This fucker only got like 5 points.
Damn.
Yeah. I was like, really? This is how you gonna do me? Okay, bet. See how it is.
I mean, for me, I don't see Miami winning the series. I know you said that it's a new season, and granted, Milwaukee's not the same team that they've been the last 2 years this year.
They're not.
They're not. They either get up big and the game's close, or they're down big and the game's close.
Yep.
And that's been almost the story all season long.
Yeah.
Like, they don't play like close games.
You can't really afford to do that with a team like this Miami team.
Right. You can't be hot and cold coming into a game every single night. And that's what Miami's been, or Milwaukee's been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who else are we looking at in the East as far as like a top team? We got Brooklyn. We got Philly's probably, aren't they the number one seed?
Yeah, Philly's number one.
Yeah, in New York.
Which means we get a good series in Russ versus Embiid.
Yeah.
They don't like each other that much.
makes
Russ do not like Embiid, and Embiid is such a troll. He like, okay.
Wait, why doesn't Russ like him?
Dude, it was a game a couple years ago, and like, they were getting chippy throughout the game.
Uh-huh.
And then like, they beat him at the last second, and Russ sitting there, bye-bye, bye-bye. And then Embiid's like, oh, you funny, huh? And then they're like, yeah, so what's your deal with Embiid? I don't fucking like him. like, I don't know what the actual beef is, but they do not get along. I think what it is Russ is so competitive on the court.
Yeah.
And Embiid is, like, competitive, but he's a goofy competitive.
Yeah.
And he trash talks a lot. I think he probably said the wrong thing, trash talking him.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, that's probably all it came down to.
Yeah, but for teams like Philly, Brooklyn, I even put New York in this category. I don't think the Bucks could beat these teams in a 7-game series.
Fair, yeah. Because the Knicks will definitely find a way to just shut down Giannis somehow.
Somehow. I mean, the Knicks, I know you say Miami's got a good defense. I feel like the Knicks are better defensively.
The Knicks have a better defense than Miami. Yeah.
I think New York's the best defensive team in the league.
I mean, statistically, it's the Lakers, but I do feel New York is, yeah.
How are the Lakers still statistically the best? Like, AD was out for, what, 2 months? LeBron was out for a month and a half or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing. But it was statistically speaking, apparently they are the best defensive team in the league. I'm not. I have nothing on that. I was like, really? Okay, I ain't gonna say nothing because Lakers fans are gonna attack me.
Yeah. I mean, Drummond adds a little bit, but
yeah, but not much.
No,
because he's not a consistent defender. Drummond could have been a defensive player of the year candidate many times if he actually applied himself, but he get lazy and play soft.
I'm not going to go on a tangent about Drummond
again.
It's
okay.
Dallas and the Clippers are the next series. That's the hammer it down game, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
What is it? What's it called?
Hammer the over.
Hammer the over.
I think Dallas got the Clippers number. As long as, you know, they stay healthy, they got the Clippers number in this one, I feel.
The Clippers have been... I haven't been more confused about a basketball team.
Because you don't know what ever. Clippers you're going to get.
You don't. And
you
then
you either get the Clippers that look like they will beat anybody ass for the championship.
Right.
Or the Clippers where you lose to fucking Orlando after you have a lead.
And I mean, it's not even that. It's like, who's playing for these guys tonight? And then it's like, oh, wait. And then you only have Kawhi Leonard. Oh, you only have Paul George.
They can't keep healthy. And it's not like they're doing it as a low management thing.
Right.
These guys are actually getting hurt back and forth.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. And maybe it is. Maybe it is a load management thing. Maybe they're just trying to play it under the radar. But
saying a quad for load management, I don't know, man.
I don't know. You can write whatever you want in the box.
You could, but I don't know.
I mean, think about the year that Toronto went on that crazy run. Like,
yeah.
Kawhi sat like 30 games or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm personally taking Dallas in this series.
Oh, I am.
But I've also seen the Mavericks, like, just go completely cold in times where I'm like, oh, this team's heating up.
I believe, that, like, in the since the All-Star break, they've been one of the best teams in the league since the All-Star break.
Yeah, I believe
But
it.
That happened last year with the bubble, too. Like, they had the best offense in the second half.
Yeah.
And then it just, but maybe it's because last year with the bubble, you know, you had that time off, so your offense cooled off.
Right, right.
Still hot, could still be going.
Mm-hmm.
Because even Hardaway Jr. has been balling, like, with Porzingis out.
Yeah.
Even when Porzingis came back, he was still contributing pretty
right.
damn solid.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I feel like this game, I feel like this will be a longer series. I don't think it's going to be.
Six.
Yeah, I don't think it's
maybe
a five
seven.
Game. I think it's six or seven as
yeah.
well. I would take the Mavericks just because the Clippers are just so suspect to me.
Yeah, they are. I can't trust them.
No, you can't. Celtics Nets.
Sweep.
You calling a sweep?
Sweep.
Well, Jaylen Brown's done, right?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's done. And Jason Tatum, as much as he's going to try to put the team on his back, it ain't going to be enough to overcome that firepower, man.
You can't. I mean,
you
honestly,
can't.
We don't really need to spend a whole lot on this series.
Yeah,
because
like, it's a sweep. It might be a gentleman's sweep. They might let them get a game.
Yeah, you think so?
But it's a sweep. It's a funny thing, though, with that. I saw a quote from Steve Nash earlier where, like, they were saying, yeah, you know, I've essentially heard that the amount of time that these guys have been on the court together this whole season is shorter than the Irishman. It's like, damn, they really haven't played together that much this year.
Who?
KD, Kyrie, and Harden.
No, they haven't,
yeah.
like, at all.
He's like, yeah, that's the Irishman was longer
the
than,
movie, like that four-hour Scorsese
the amount
movie?
Of time they've been on the court
oh
together.
My
like,
God.
Damn. Like, it's an over-exaggeration, I totally feel, but still, you know.
I don't know. There's only 48 minutes in a game. How many games
yeah,
they played
so
together?
It's like,
and it's not like they're all playing at the same time.
Exactly.
Like,
and then there was that one weird game where KD got pulled, so it might be possible.
It might be.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. That's why
I would like honestly, to see the stats on that, because that might actually be true.
It might actually be true.
Right?
It's just crazy to me, though, because, like, with them, I know what's going to be their Achilles heel, chemistry. They're going to get into a position where it's a clutch situation, and egos are going to kick in because they don't have that chemistry to be like, you know what? I know I can go to you in this situation, Kyrie. I know I can go to you, Harden. I know I can go to you, KD. They're still learning each other a bit.
I think the opposite of that. I think these guys are three of the best basketball players on the planet.
Man, it's three beta males. It ain't. Like, come on now. Come on. They may be three of the best basketball
they
players
are,
on the
though.
Planet, but they a bunch of betas.
Yeah, so they don't care to give
if
up
you wanna
that.
You want to win. You need an alpha. You need somebody that's going to be like,
you need Steph Curry.
Which is why I still say, regardless on if they went to Brooklyn or if they went to the Knicks, they needed Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Because he would have definitely been like, yo, this is how we going to run this shit. And they would have been a filthy ass team.
Yeah.
That combination would have been nothing you can do to stop that. But then you wouldn't even need Harden in that case. It could have just been Jimmy, Katie, and Kyrie. And it's like, yeah, ain't nobody stopping this.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to stop the three that's there.
All you got to do regardless. Is score them. They don't play defense.
Well, that's the historically, like, none of them have played defense. Kyrie's been a pretty good defender, I guess. But.
I mean, KD's probably the best defender of all of them.
Well, he's also he was 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he was like a hell of a defender in Golden State, getting, you know, good solid blocks and steals and stuff. But to me, he's the best defender out of all three.
Yeah, but there's so much horsepower there on offense. Like, it doesn't really matter.
But it's like, if you can outscore him somehow.
Good luck.
And then, too, we've seen, like, that one weird game where we put that money on them to win, and they couldn't buy a shot to save their life towards the end.
Yeah, but that was a weird game.
But you can randomly go cold like that, because that's happened to Golden State a few times in the playoffs, where you thought a series was won by them, and the rule of live by the three, die by the three kicks in. They died by it because they couldn't buy a shot. It happens in basketball.
Think about when OKC had Golden State up 3-0.
Yep, and just couldn't close it out.
In the Western Finals.
Couldn't close it out.
Brutal.
Yep.
Yeah, but they got Kyrie. Kyrie's a different player. I don't know. Westbrook
unless he called in sick that day.
Yeah. Like, Kyrie's weird, bro. Like,
I don't think Kyrie's heart is in basketball anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, it's like he does it just because it makes him money. But, like, I don't think Kyrie has that same love for the game that he had a little earlier in his career. Like, it's faded a little bit.
Like, something's happened with him. I don't know if he, like,
it might be a Kobe passing thing.
Could be. Like, it could have been, I don't know if he took acid in the offseason or what the case is. Because,
like, he's a different guy.
Yeah. I mean, it all started with the fucking... When he was walking around lighting incense on the...
No, I started with Flat Earth Kyrie.
Oh, yeah. He did do that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was when he was still in Cleveland.
Yeah, he started with the Flat Earth shit. And then he was doing, like the rituals on the sidelines, like burning fucking stuff. He's probably got, like, stones in his locker that he thinks are giving him powers, you know?
Yeah.
Just weird shit like that.
Like KG and Uncut Gems.
Right,
right. This is my superpower.
Right. Regardless, they're not losing the series.
Nah.
I mean, unless something crazy happens where, like, two of them go down. But even then, we saw Harden, like, hold the team. And,
yeah,
like,
and I mean, this series they can come out of. Now, the next series, I wouldn't give it so much if both of them went down. But one of them can pull them out of the series. Boston's down there one star. I mean, yeah. Kemba's been playing good, but...
That wasn't the right move for Boston. Let's be fair.
I mean, so... I don't know.
It's like, who else are you going to get... And looking at how well Walker played prior to going to Boston, it's like it seemed on paper.
And Terry
he was playing really well in Charlotte.
I saw the decline coming a little bit, though.
Did you?
I had a feeling, yeah. And Terry Rozier was kind of, you know,
on
getting
the up
and there.
Up, yeah.
But the thing was, I get why they did it, because it was a personality thing. Terry Rozier was starting to feel like, you know, I should be the guy.
Yeah.
And Kemba Walker was at that point in his career as a vet. Whatever I got to do to help team win, coach. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
I think that's why they really did it.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it.
I mean, they should have pulled the trigger on Jeremy Grant. They 100% should have done that.
Yeah, they should have.
And granted, like, Grant is a similar...
They got Evan Fournier, but Evan Fournier is not even on the same...
No.
A few years ago, he could have possibly been.
Mm-hmm.
But now, no, he's not on that same level of what Jeremy Grant was this year.
And granted, like, with Jeremy Grant, like, towards the end of the season, the Pistons just weren't playing him because we were trying to lose out.
Exactly.
Like, but for Grant, he does have a similar style to, like, what they already have.
Yep.
You know, so trying to, like, cluster up that team with too much, you know, too much of somebody who's just... Like, they can create their own plays.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's tough. Like, you can't run four isolations at once.
Yeah, true.
But Jeremy Grant is just such a talented scorer where it would make sense to have Boston. Like, imagine if Jeremy Grant was in this series right now.
Oh, yeah. It would probably be a more tolerable series.
With Jaylen Brown, like, this would be one of the best series. This would be one of the best series in the whole playoffs.
Yeah, fair.
Portland, Denver.
You know, I want to say Denver.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Dame sends somebody home almost every year
in the playoffs.
He does.
He really does.
So.
Didn't he send Denver home
last year?
Home
last year.
But the year prior, didn't he?
The year prior, he sent OKC home. But he didn't just send OKC home. He broke OKC up.
Yeah.
That shot destroyed an organization
right
at that point. Man. And then
they're like, you know what? After that Damian Lillard series, we're going to go out and get 14 first-round draft picks.
Yep. Rebuild.
Yeah.
Why? That man murdered us. We need to hide underground until it's time for us to come back.
Dude, in 10 years, though?
Maybe not even 10 years, in 5 years. The Pistons and the Thunder are going to be fucking elite.
Yeah, they really are.
Because when you got those penny picks,
right.
Like, they have, like, what, 14 and we have 13?
Something like that. I mean, I'm telling you, give it 10 years. Because it's not like they have anything right now. Like, mm-hmm. They literally have nothing right now. They've been gutted.
All OKC really has is the guard that they got from the Clippers in the Chris Paul trade, Shai.
Yeah.
Like, he's solid when he plays. And then also, Lu Dort was actually a decent story for him. He was actually a solid scorer for them this season.
Well, somebody's got to put the ball on the brim. But yeah, give it 10 years. Like, think about what the Lakers did, right?
Yep.
Like, they literally turned like a bunch of draft picks into LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Exactly. And even look how Boston does it.
Yeah.
They're always sitting on draft picks so that whenever they need to pull the trigger for that next big player, which one you want? I got these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Boston also traded like a big three on the verge of retirement Brooklyn's. You know, next
entire
future,
which, oh my God, that was one of the greatest finesse moves ever. Because it's like, yo, they declining. This ain't gonna work. So those draft picks about to be lottery picks for us,
right? It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
In this series, man, I don't know. I'm taking Denver, just because it makes more sense to me that Denver moves on. Advance.
Like, it's a logical move to make. It's just, it's very
hard. It's
hard
to bet against Dame Lillard. Yeah.
He got a chip on his shoulder, bro.
And it's not just him either. You know, like, Portland's actually a decent team.
Denver losing to Portland Sunday might have gave Portland a little more confidence.
So right.
That's another possibility that you got to think of.
Mm-hmm.
And teams like that, they're dangerous. You don't give them that confidence because once you do, you're fucked.
Right. Wizards, Sixers. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
Sixers easy, if you ask me.
I think that one might go five. I do think that the Wizards will get at least one game out of it.
You think they'll snag one?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get swept.
Maybe.
They'll find a way to get one because, you know, Philly's like that too. They'll have that one game out of nowhere where it's like, the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, I can see it happening.
Yeah. Lakers Suns. What a series this is going to be.
I think that's going to go seven.
It might. It might, actually.
It's going to be a hell of a series.
It's hard to go against
the Lakers, but the Suns look so good.
Right.
To me, it depends on if Chris Paul stays healthy, because that's always the Achilles heel for any Chris Paul team in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets hurt, that's it.
He carries a team, gets them there, and then in the playoffs, it's just something happens.
Yep. Oh, I pulled a hammy. Oh, I rolled my ankle. Oh, this happened.
It's going to be such a good series if he can stick it out. I do believe it's going to go seven games.
Yeah. It has all the potential, too.
Yeah. I can't even really call that one.
Yeah.
I really can't. I think it's too close. I can't call it.
It's very close. I'm going to go Lakers because it's hard for me to bet against champ.
Yeah.
Even though they're a lower seed, it's still hard for me to bet against the champ.
And it's hard to bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
Hawks, Knicks.
Knicks. I think they're going to sweep them.
Easy. And then the Jazz already have a bye or something, right?
I mean, they'll get Golden State. Well, the winner of Golden State and Memphis.
Oh, that's right.
But it'll more than likely be Golden State.
So let's call it. I mean, if Memphis somehow, some way wins this game tonight, which, I mean, it's possible.
Then that's a sweep.
Then they're sweeping, yeah. Yeah. But with
Golden State, I'll give Golden State at least one game against Utah. I'll give it five.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's hard.
It'd be hard to get
and
two.
And Donovan Mitchell will be back. And
yeah,
that's part of why I feel like I'm going to give him one. I might give him two games off of that.
Maybe.
You know, just readjusting Mitchell coming into the lineup and everything, him making sure he's not, you know, trying to overdo it and all that or sprains his ankle or anything.
Yeah. If it goes to seven, look out.
If it goes to seven and Golden State's taking it.
If the Warriors take three, like, I don't know if they might have took the just all the air out of Utah. But if not,
the Warriors somehow start up 2-0, that could be all the confidence they need.
Right. So here's what I think. I think if Jokic, and I know it's a regular season thing, but if Jokic somehow manages to beat the Blazers in the first round, I think it's unanimous like that he should win MVP.
Fair.
But if Steph Curry wins this, no one else should get a vote.
Yeah, it should be unanimous.
Yeah.
Even though it's a regular season award, it's like still, man. Like,
right.
Look at what he's doing.
Yeah, they need to start incorporating that. Because, I mean, the NFL, honestly, the NFL does that, and they don't say it, but well, they do.
Honestly, I feel like each sport should have a postseason MVP.
They should.
Like an overall postseason MVP. Yeah. Like, it should be a thing. Yeah. I wouldn't mind it, because look at guys like Jamal Murray in the playoffs every year when he plays.
Right.
A different monster, MVP caliber.
Yep.
But it ain't happening in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, who do you actually think is going to make the finals?
Sadly, Brooklyn.
And I can't versus really, who?
I can't really pick from the West, because the West is so, like, it could be Utah, it could be Phoenix, Denver has a chance, the Lakers have a solid chance. It could be anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It really could. Like, the Clippers still, the Mavs, especially if the Mavs get rolling.
I don't think the Mavs are going to beat any of the other
three
of the other four teams.
Luka,
that you said.
Luka.
Yeah, but Luka's not beating a surging Lakers team.
Porzingis.
LOL.
Hey, don't be hating on the unicorn, bro.
It's your favorite player on the planet.
Oh, yeah, man. That's my guy, the unicorn.
I realistically, I think it's going to be Utah. And let me look. Utah and Brooklyn. Mm. That's who I think it's going to be.
Utah is just playing so good,
man. Yeah. But I want it to be Phoenix and New York.
Ooh.
That would be a great
series.
That would
be a hell of a series.
Right?
I'd love that.
That's who I think. That's who I would like it to be.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Brooklyn and Utah.
I mean, I'm petty, so I want Dallas and New York if I could actually have it my way.
Yeah. That would actually be a good series. I mean,
who goes over, Porzingis or the team that traded him away?
Yeah. I hate the Berger bubble. That's not going to be the case. But
hey, look.
That would be a fun series
to
watch.
It would be a fun one to watch.
I mean, there's a lot of good series in this one. Mm-hmm. I wish the Celtics were healthy, because that would have been one of the best series in this.
It could have easily.
In all of the playoffs. All right, what else we got? What happened in the NFL?
Nothing really this week, short of them making up news with the whole Lions offer to the other coach thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's really all that was. It's like, oh, and then Tebow's officially signed.
Yeah. Speaking of the Jags, they got their calls ignored on draft day or something, right? That's kind of funny.
Trevor Lawrence is like, stop, I'm trying to get drafted to the NFL. We're calling you for that. Oh.
Wait, Tebow was on the Jets?
Yeah, remember he was on the Jets.
Did he play quarterback?
Yep.
Did he actually
and
start?
And they tried to convert him at tight end because he was Sanchez's backup.
Oh,
I think they started
right.
him one or two games
that's right. That's
towards
right.
the end of the season.
Yep.
Yep.
I know there's a big there's a big push for Julio, and then a lot of teams are talking about trade scenarios for him right now.
D-Hop is saying because he was like a guy in the gym, asked him, would he restructure his contract? He was like, you think I wouldn't?
You're right. Of course I would.
A.J. Brown's offering Julio the number 11 if he somehow lands in Tennessee.
That would be filthy.
That would be filthy.
To have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones?
So,
oh, my God.
We were having a conversation yesterday on Xbox, me and my boy Jordan, about, like, trading for Julio. And he was like, I'm not giving up anything more than a third. I'm like, he was like, what team would be, you know, that'd be the right move for? I'm like, so if you're Green Bay.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he's injury prone. Okay, but he getting you 1,000 yards a year, even missing games.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Regardless, you're getting a top five guy.
Yeah, and I'm like, if it's Green Bay and they can offer a first rounder for Julio.
Yeah, they're going to waste the pick anyways.
Right. Like, you're going to waste it on something stupid to spite Aaron Rodgers anyway.
That's why I've always said, dude, like, the Lions just need to fire second rounders at everybody trying to get, like, you know, somebody that's worth, you know, anything, worth a second rounder. A second rounder goes
a
long way in trade.
It does. It goes very far.
And the Lions waste it every year.
Yep.
Who'd be taking a second this year?
I think it was that D tackle.
Yeah, he's got
one of those two D tackles.
Yeah, he's got Lions written. He's got a Lions second rounder written all over.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I'm like, it's doable for some teams to make that move. Because, like, if you feel you're literally that playmaker away from a Super Bowl, and it's not like when Julio's hurt in the playoffs. Oh, he plays in the fucking playoffs.
Right.
So when you need him most, he's there.
Yeah.
What's really the problem at that point? Like, it's a lot of teams that should make a move for him. I saw something jokingly where it was like a potential package for Kansas City to try to get him. I'm like, please let this happen.
And that would be insane if he went to KC.
Julio with freaking Kelce and Tyreek.
I bet you Tom Brady's kind of pissed that Godwin resigned or something now, because it's like, man,
could have possibly had Julio.
Because they would trade everything to go back to back.
Yeah,
they would give up a first today to get Julio. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If they didn't already have that position covered, they got AB. You know, it's like, yeah, there's really no point to bringing him in.
Yep, it's really not.
Indy would be a good spot, if you ask me.
Solid for him. I forgot T.Y. actually did sign back with Indy, too.
Yeah, but T.Y. Hilton, he's fallen off so hard. Man. And Pittman is, like, definitely on the up and up.
Yeah.
But neither one of these guys are number ones.
Not yet.
You know, if you bring in Julio Jones, it's like, oh, now we're talking some shit. This is your number one, yeah. You know, you got Carson Wentz, like, you're really trying to do it.
Yep.
You got the defense already.
Already. You got a solid running game.
Yeah. Because
they also brought back Mac, too, which I was kind of shocked they were going to do that, considering Taylor looked so good.
They did bring him back?
Too. Yeah. Marlon Mack re-signed. I was kind of shocked by that, because I was like, their backfield was pretty good, you know?
I feel like he would have been a great pick for the Lions, like, for them to pursue.
They're very high on Jamal Williams.
They are. Yeah. I mean, you can see it. Jamal Williams is a decent back, but
my only gripe with that, don't let it stunt the growth of DeAndre Swift.
True.
Do not try to make Jamal Williams your primary running back and then fuck up this gem that you got last year.
But, I mean, I feel like if you look at, like, the San Francisco situation where they brought in Jerick McKinnon to be the guy, and he was splitting time with Latavius Murray in Minnesota, and clearly neither one of them were Adrian Peterson.
Nah.
But they were decent backs who could carry you know, a little bit of the load anyways.
A little decent yardage.
So, I mean, you bring in, you know, that style guy, and he could be, you know, effective for your team, but you have a stud in DeAndre Swift.
Yep. Which, fun fact, some dickhead decided to try to say this week on the internet that DeAndre Swift was not a top 32 running back, and I'm like,
shut the fuck up.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, that's disrespectful.
He's a top 20 back, and we're talking about a guy who played with a terrible team in his first season.
Like, come on now, let's be real. I'm like, so you mean tell me running backs by committee teams
right
would not want to have a DeAndre Swift instead of what they have?
Yeah, he's an every down guy. He's a good pass catcher. He can create his own.
Like, you really think the backups on the Giants are better than DeAndre Swift guy?
Right.
Let's be real here. Yeah. Come on now.
I mean,
the Jets running back room was better.
Even looking at people like Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Swift is better than him.
Yep.
Jonathan Taylor probably finished the season with more yards.
He did, I think. Like, but he had a better line.
David Montgomery, another guy who is probably, you know, being pretty highly regarded, which I'd take Swift every single day over him.
Montgomery is so fucking iffy to me.
Right.
Like, I saw the upside, but I don't see it executed enough, so I'm kind of done with him.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, I'm trying to pull up a NFL starting running back list. This wasn't even on our radar, but...
No, it's got our attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins, who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Swift. Okay. Dobbins looked good down the stretch, but I'd rather have Swift, low-key.
Devin Singletary. I'm with you on that, by the way.
Oh, easily Swift. Okay. Singletary's so inconsistent. Like, you got to think, they brought in, what, Zach Moss, was it?
Yeah.
To, you know, replace him?
Well, they also have Matt Breida now, too.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yep. See?
Give me Swift over all three of those guys.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon.
You know what? Joe took a step back last year. But he wasn't healthy.
He's been inconsistent his entire career.
Yes, yeah.
And granted, Cincinnati does not have a good line. Historically, since he's been there, has not had a good O-line.
And he still somewhat produces, but...
In certain games, I feel like he's good for eight games.
Yep.
You know? Outside of that, it's like, who the fuck is this bum?
Yeah.
Give me DeAndre Swift over Joe Mixon. I mean that genuinely.
That's fair.
Nick Chubb.
I'm definitely taking Chubb.
Right.
Like,
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's understandable.
But that's a rare case, because those two are legit starting running
backs. Both of those guys are top 10 guys.
Yeah.
Chubb's top 5.
Yep.
Melvin Gordon.
I'm easily going Swift. Gordon okay. fell off.
Yep. David Johnson.
Easily Swift.
Really? That one's kind of debatable, but Swift put together a better season in my eyes last year.
And Johnson was literally playing like dog shit the years before last right. year, too. So, you yeah. know, and then also running back Tread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phillip Lindsay.
I might have to go with Lindsay in this case.
Really?
Because he got fucked by Denver last year. Because, like, it was weird because them bringing in Melvin Gordon was a stupid move.
Yeah.
And when Lindsay had touches, he showed you, hey, I should still be your running back one, guys. Mm-hmm. And then Gordon comes back and it's like, all right, Phil, take a seat.
Right. I mean, Phillip Lindsay has obviously produced more.
Yeah.
But he's also had kind of like some dogged games. I mean, I guess just yes. kind of looking over like who's done what, you would take Lindsay, but
yeah.
With the upside that Swift presents, I would go Swift.
Fair, fair.
Mark Ingram.
Oh, I'm definitely going Swift.
Okay.
Ingram's best days are behind him, sadly.
Jonathan Taylor.
Swift.
Who the hell is this? Travis Etienne? Oh, it's a rookie,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, they had a rookie that's in Jacksonville.
Why did they take him? James Robinson was a stud last year.
So, what it is, I think Urban Meyer wanted to have somebody that Trevor Lawrence, you know, is familiar with in the offense. And he's actually had Etienne line up as, like, a slot receiver in camp. So, they're going to probably try to make him, like, a gadget guy in the offense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they already have one of those.
Yeah, Chenault.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think
that's weird.
I mean, the more weapons you have, the better. True. Especially because Trevor Lawrence, you know, he can bomb it, but it's a lot of, you know, his guys making separation.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's young. You just got to give him as many weapons, let him be as creative as
exactly.
possible.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, the game is very scripted for a lot of young quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the way that everybody's talking about him, like, they're expecting him to be, you know, one of the best.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, he's getting the same, like, attention that Andrew Luck got coming out of college. Yep,
exactly. And that was when he came in as a freshman, basically.
Yeah. James Robinson.
I might have to go with Robinson.
Give me Robinson in that situation, too.
Because he was damn good last year.
Edwards-Helaire.
I'm going to go Swift over Clyde.
Really?
Clyde was a little inconsistent to me last year, man.
He was, but he also had the injury.
He did, but, like, even before the injury, he had the great opener.
He had the really great opener, yeah.
And then it was just like,
I mean, it's hard to produce as a running back with Mahomes.
It is, but, you know,
Kareem
Hunt was able
it.
To do
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But that was very early in his career.
But Mahomes was still giving you like 4 or 5 touchdowns a game.
Yeah, true.
And Hunt was still eating with like 2 touchdowns himself.
Oh, wait. KC brought in Jerick McKinnon?
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Eckler.
I think I'm going to go Eckler.
You go Eckler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Eckler's pretty damn good.
All right, so I'll kind of speed this up. Josh Jacobs is better.
Yeah,
easily. Miles Gaskin is a debate, I feel.
Yeah, because he has some damn good games, but then...
Swift would be a three-down back in New England.
Yeah, he would, easily.
Same with the Jets.
Yep.
Same in Pittsburgh. Let's be fair. And then Derrick Henry is...
That's a different
king,
level.
He's king of running backs.
Right.
Wait, what happened to James Conner?
Oh, he's in Arizona now, I think.
What?
Yeah, Arizona picked him up, I believe.
Okay, so, I mean, we named probably, what, 8 guys there?
Mm-hmm.
9 guys that we would potentially take over him, and that's just in the AFC.
Yeah.
In the NFC, yeah, they do have James Conner.
Yep.
Jonathan Ward? Anyways. He would start for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He would start for Atlanta.
Yep, easily.
Carolina, Christian McCaffrey.
You ain't starting over McCaffrey, but they'll find a way to throw him in the offense, though.
Yeah. He would probably split time with Montgomery, but I think he'd be more productive.
He'd be more productive than Montgomery, yeah.
Throughout the season.
Yeah.
Montgomery would have his games.
Mm-hmm.
Zeke, I mean, even though Zeke looked like shit last year, you can't take Swift over Zeke.
You can't really discount Zeke yet.
Right. Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones was on a different level last year, so you got to take him. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this would be a fun one. Cam Akers.
I go Swift over Cam. Cam looked good down the stretch.
Cam,
finally,
Cam looked really good he down did. The stretch, like insanely good down the stretch.
Yeah, but
Swift
I feel,
didn't put up those kinds of numbers.
I feel like you guys are going to be a little more pass heavy this year.
I don't know, man. It's what's his name? McVay.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to play his strengths. And yeah. The strength last year was running the shit out of the football.
True.
I mean, he's that's just who he is. Dalvin Cook, Kamara, Saquon Barkley.
Easily over, yeah.
Miles Sanders, you could debate that.
Yeah, I would probably take Miles Sanders over him.
Yep. I would take Swift over Chris Carson.
Yeah, because Carson looks good at times, but then he gets hurt.
Yep. San Francisco's kind of a weird one. Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson. I think if Swift was on that team, he would probably see the majority of the time.
I don't know, because Mostert looks pretty good as like their primary.
Yeah, but then there's games where it's just like, okay, maybe the guy's hurt, maybe he's not. Yeah. Maybe they're just trying to work Jeff Wilson in.
Honestly, it's the Shanahan family thing.
Yeah.
The Shanahan family never has a consistent, solid running back. Like, yeah. It's always a different guy every year, aside from the Terrell Davis years.
Yeah. And then I feel like he would be the starter in the Bucs.
Yeah.
Over Fournette and Jones.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Oh, they brought in Giovanni Bernard?
Yeah, they did.
Damn. And then Washington, I think it's kind of a coin toss between Antonio Gibson.
Because the Gibson actually was pretty good.
Gibson was really good last year.
He was actually pretty good when he started.
Yeah. And then J.D. McKissick was just split in time, and he was
And then they wound up turning him into a wide receiver.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, he's top. You can say he's top 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might be a little bit more biased just because we've watched every single game of his mm-hmm. and we've seen what he's capable of. I mean, I feel like if you would have watched Cam Akers every single game, you would be saying the same thing that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Swift, there's no shot that he's not in the top 32, let alone the top 25.
Yeah.
I personally would put him in the top 20. Oh, wait. I got one last one.
What?
Kerryon Johnson.
Take him over Kerryon.
Just kidding.
I mean, they already did it, though, so you
I was
know.
Kidding. So, yeah, what do we miss? The Tigers have been on a freaking tear.
Dude, they've bounced back.
They bounced all the way back.
I'm like, whoa, buddy.
Cabrera's still batting third.
Yeah.
I would imagine. No, he was batting fourth. They actually did the smart move and put Candelario in the third slot.
That's good. That's good, finally.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't catch any of the Seattle games just because
they were so late,
man.
Yeah. I did catch the end of the no-hitter, though, because I just happened to still be up.
You watched the no-hitter?
Yeah.
I watched, like, the 27 outs afterwards, but I didn't catch a no-hitter.
Yeah.
I looked in, like, the fifth inning, and I saw it was still going, and then I just went to sleep.
Dude, like, my messages started blowing up once it hit like the eighth inning. Like,
yeah.
Just turn on the Tigers game. Turn on the Tigers game. Like, I know, all
right? Right.
Like, I've gotten like 5 notifications. I'm trying to not watch it too soon.
Right. Well, I mean, we were talking about it probably like 5 weeks ago now
mm-hmm.
where these baseballs, they're going to end up changing the game.
Yeah.
And what sucks is in a lot of these, and you could see it. And when I was watching, like I said, I went back and rewatched the outs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's bombs being taken away and turned into no-hitters.
Yeah.
Like, those should have been home runs.
Yep.
Like, you can hear it when it pops off the bat, you know, and it's just like, it's not the same, you know?
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, too, because MLB's like, yeah, they're probably going to have to change something because they're like, you know, it's no-hitters and people want to see offense. But it's a double-edged sword to me when you look at it that way because if you think about it, what does MLB try to say that they want to change? The pace of the game. And in a no-hitter, a no-hitter is going to take up less time.
Yeah, 100%.
Than a freaking game where you got like 20 runs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got constant hits and the innings are dragging on and on and on. So,
yeah,
you may be getting offense, but then you could have the instance where, like yesterday, where the Reds got, you know, just throttled.
Oh, yeah. It was like 19-4 or something.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not entertaining to watch.
No.
No.
You turn that off at 11-2 or wherever the hell it was at.
Like, yeah, they got a chance to come back, but I'll get a notification for that if they do.
Right.
And I'll tune back in at that point. But that's boring. That's the boring part of baseball.
Yeah.
Like a 3-0 game with a no-hitter, that's not really boring. That's entertaining.
I know. I don't understand, like, trying to take down the amount of home runs that are flying out of the park.
Yeah.
It's like, I like seeing home runs.
Everybody does.
I like seeing lead changes, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like when you take that away and it's like that you have to play small ball, you have to steal bases and stuff. Like, obviously, it's part of the game, but you can't just, you know, change the game just because guys are getting better at swinging the bat.
Yeah.
They're stronger than they were, you know, like in Cabrera season, I would have been pissed if halfway through the year, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to change the baseballs because this guy's already at 25 home runs.
Yep.
You know? Like, yeah, that just doesn't make sense. And, I mean, even, like, you look at, like, Ohtani and Acuna and, you know, Tatis even. Like, just since he's been back, just, what, a couple of days, he's already knocked out, like, three.
Yep.
And it's, like, it's not affecting, you know, some of the guys who,
like,
just
the elite,
have
elite
these
players. It's not affecting. But your everyday guys.
Yeah.
It's really affecting them.
Yeah. I would imagine home run numbers are probably down.
Yep.
Strikeouts aren't up, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing.
It's
not
like
really
strikeouts
up.
Are up. It's just the amount of balls that are flying out of the park. Yep. And I feel like that's just rigging the game in the wrong way.
It is. It is to a degree. Do you see the petty move that the Astros are doing?
No. What are they doing?
Their first full capacity game is against the Dodgers.
Why is that petty?
Because, you know, the whole sign stealing thing. The
is
Dodgers
it on the first?
Is, still,
is it on, like, the day that they're allowed to open?
I think it might be, actually. Oh, let me see, actually.
So it's just coincidental,
like,
pettiness?
It's very coincidental pettiness, but, you know. Let's find out. When is it again? Yeah, Joe Kelly said, hey, look, if a fan throw a beer at me, I'm going to just throw him right back. Like, dude, I fucking love Joe Kelly. Yep. Yeah, Tuesday, actually.
Yeah, so that's
it's,
first.
It's, no, that's 25th, man.
Oh, it's this Tuesday.
Yeah, that's Tuesday. Yep.
Well, I guess Texas has been open since
Texas
fucking...
Texas been doing whatever it wants.
Yeah,
though.
They've
so
been open since
that's
last
why I'm like,
July.
It's a petty move by Houston because you got to remember, the Rangers had full capacity
opening
day
yeah.
and they were sold the fuck out.
Yeah, they were. That was such a cool thing, man. I can't wait to go back to a full ballpark like that.
Oh man, that first week or two is gonna be when it does it.
Yeah,
then it'll be back looking like it does now.
Oh, you're saying like after the hype dies down?
Yeah,
maybe not though. Maybe
it depends on how good we're playing though too,
right?
Yeah
I mean the thing with the Tigers, man, they're actually showing, like, granted, they've won some games, but I would like to see them in the losses not look as bad.
Yeah.
You know, like how the Pistons were all year.
Yep. Like, still look entertaining.
Yeah.
Still look like you're fighting back.
Yeah, you want a scrappy team. Like, granted, you're going to lose some games, but it's just going to lead to a better pick. But at least you're putting, like, a good product out on the field. Like, these are the types of efforts that I've, like, in the past, like, week that we've seen that I've wanted to see. And we saw it early on, too, when the pitching got going on early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually thought Houston was open, like, since the Rangers were.
Nope. They just petty.
Do they allow, like, way more people in the stadium, though? Because it looked like full capacity at one game.
They may have been, yeah.
Yep.
Almost everybody's going full cap, though, soon.
Which is good, man. It's nice. We're going to have fucking shootings here pretty soon.
Hey, man. It's already started
events.
In the summer.
Yeah.
It's already been happening, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's going to be... I mean, just think about, like, how many people have done nothing for, like, a year.
Yeah, man. Like,
mental health is going to be pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
UFC card tomorrow. Real quick, I want to touch on that. We're, like, 3 minutes over.
Okay.
Garbrandt and Rob Font.
Oh, yeah, that is the one for tomorrow.
Dude, that's going to be a sweet... That's going to be a really good fight. I'm 50-50 on it. Mm-hmm. I think Garbrandt, but I mean, he just does bonehead shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
Garbrandt's one of the few people from Ohio that I actually will cheer for. It's not often that happens.
No.
Nah.
No Joe Burrow.
He is from Ohio. God damn it.
Well, he plays in Ohio.
I know. Yeah. But, like, you know, the Ohio born and raised, like, still got a little bit of, you know, I look at LeBron a certain way because he's born and raised in Ohio and hated him for the longest because he killed the Pistons dynasty, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's still funny to me that, like, literally people that say they're Pistons fans will sit up and ask me, why don't you like LeBron? Sir, you're a Pistons fan.
Yeah, did you,
should know exactly why.
Did you watch basketball in 2006?
That moment is burned in my head.
You're talking about the one where he dropped like 20 in a row in like the fourth quarter?
Yes, and you look up and the whole starting five of the, well, you know, what's left of that starting five of the Pistons. You got Tayshaun, Rip, Chauncey, and Rasheed.
Yeah.
Just part the paint like the Red Sea and let LeBron just come and dunk it.
Oof, that was a brutal game. I still remember that game. It hurt. It was yesterday.
I still feel that pain, man. I'm hurt just thinking about it.
Because we haven't been good since.
No, not at all. In horrible sense.
Like, God. You can look at last season as like the last like real light, you know, outside of like when they first brought Blake in, like those first five games.
Yep.
All right, we're gonna end the show with this.
All right.
Fuck Blake Griffin.
Yeah, fuck Blake Griffin. Punk ass.
All right, that's a show. Unless you got anything else, you got anything else?
Another fuck Blake Griffin. All right, you know he ain't shit.
Attaboy. Freaking going out in buddies podcast style. That's it. Peace. Even back when we was broke, my team ill. Martin Luther King would have been on Dreamville. Talk to her, nigga. One time for my LA sisters. One time for my LA hoes. Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows. Don't save her, she don't wanna be saved. 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 No role models and I'm here right now.